Isn't that a good thought? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We do want to praise Him. The name of Jesus is the name that's above every name, the name at which every knee bows. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We welcome you to the Lord's house today. Those of you here in the sanctuary, those that might be in the parking lot, those that are listening later on the website, we're all always glad to get together on the Lord's day to worship the Lord, because after all, He is our King, our Lord, our Savior. He's the one that's preparing a place for us. And one of these days, He's going to come get us. And sometimes when I look at the news a little while, I say, you're 15 minutes late, Lord. Let's pray. Fathers, we bow before You. Thank You for the blessings You've given us. Thank You for this day. Thank You that now that we can spend some time just worshiping Jesus. Thank You, Lord, that from the foundations of the world, from the foundation of the world, You had a plan for a Savior and a Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and to draw us to that Savior. And You have a plan for an eternal heaven where we can all come and worship, praise, fellowship with each other and our loved ones forever and ever. Thank You, Father. Now, we just know that the Holy Spirit is here. We give Him liberty to say what He needs to say through the message, through the prayers, through the songs. Speak to our hearts and let us have ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
And sing, Come Christians Join to Sing. And I know Jeff's got the words up for us. If you prefer your book, it's 231. But we'll be looking at our words here too. Okay, we're ready.
Join to sing, hallelujah, amen.
Again, we thank you for coming. Mr. Leonard's taking care of some family matters this morning. So we appreciate Miss Tonda for leading the music. And I'll be doing the announcements that Leonard usually does. A couple of things in the bulletin. Wednesday night's our Bible study, prayer time. We invite you to come. Baptist men's retreats this weekend. And men, if you'll meet Brother Jeff down front after the service, get some final instructions on who's going where and when and how. And so if you'll just meet Jeff down front. I hope you'll look in your newsletter this week about special announcements about the Arrowhead Revival that's coming in September. You might want to get involved with one of the committees. You might want to be involved in the Saturday night prayer services. Also, notice that there's a workday schedule for Saturday, April 2nd, 8 a.m. You're invited to come and be a part of that. Anything you want to say about that, Miss Rita?
That we just like to have as much help as we can get. We're going to be
doing
some repairs.
All right. So if you think you could help, we'd appreciate you coming. Notice also the announcements concerning Easter. Sunrise, 6:45. Breakfast at 7. I understand they're going to do a real breakfast this time. So we're looking forward to that, and then worship service at 8. So you be planning on being a part of that. Invite some folks to come and join us. You know, sometimes there's folks that won't go to church any other time, but they might come for a sunrise service, come for breakfast, and get a chance to share Jesus with them. So you invite them. Notice also that there's two, we're doing the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. And it's for the next several weeks. And there's a lot of lost people in the world. A lot of lost people in the United States. And this is our opportunity to share Jesus with them. In just a minute, we'll have a video. But before that, let me mention also, because Easter's late, it's overlapping with the spring food drive for the Baptist Children's Home. And so between now and May 1st, you can give to the, if you want to give money, just put it in the offering, Baptist Children's Home Food Drive. If you want to give food or things, there's a list of things they'd like to have, and there's copies of it down there that you can look at. And just be sure that anything you give is not out of date, because they won't be able to use anything that's out of date. So I know sometimes we get to look at something, I pull it out of the kit. Oh, that ran out of date in 2017. Now, I know that doesn't happen to y'all, but it does with us occasionally. All right, Jeff, if you'll show us that video for the Annie Armstrong Easter offering.
I get the question of why move back to Puerto Rico. In the last 10 years, Puerto Rico has experienced financial crisis, political crisis, crises with hurricanes and earthquakes. And on top of all of that, you've got the COVID-19 pandemic. And so they're like, why would you go the opposite way? Everyone's trying to leave. I think there's a lot of opportunity here in Puerto Rico in terms of ministry. A lot of the folks that we minister to just live alone because families have moved onto the mainland, and people tend to leave behind some of their most vulnerable family members. It takes their support system away from them. And so one, who I later met as Rosa, sent me a text that said, I live alone. I don't have any food left. Please just help me. So I asked, can I call you? And realized that she lived near one of our local pastors. And so he and his wife came here and went to see Rosa and really ministered to her and invited her to church. She agreed and listened intently to the message. And then after the service, accepted Christ. this is something that God is doing, and I get to join him in because of what Christ has done on our behalf. And in gratitude, we respond by serving others. And so that's the importance of giving, because that enables us to continue to meet these needs and ensure that the gospel is proclaimed and preached, and that churches are planted and that missionaries are sent. Puerto Ricans, they've been through a lot, and yet we're going to do what we need to do to overcome this, and we're going to overcome this together.
All right. Any other announcements that we need to make? All right, as you look at your prayer request, notice there first that Miss Betty is a great-grandparent. Raina, Grace, Barbie, Chris and Winter Barbie, big brother Laxley Barbie, grandparent Scott Davis. So we just tickled for y'all that everything's going good. Another one for Betty to spoil. Hey, I bet she will. I bet she will. On the back of the bulletin, there's a number of people that need our prayers. I got a text this morning from Leonard that Lionel had put his dad, Heath Hahn, in the hospital. He's not doing very well. His condition seemed to be very, very serious. So, he and Miss Birdie celebrated their 95th birthdays this week. And he was pretty tired, but he still had that sense of humor. I enjoyed talking with him Friday. But pray for that family. Also, Mark Shaver, who's the son of Ted and Trudy Shaver from Aquadale, 38 years old. He had COVID, was on a ventilator for 7 months. He's off now and on oxygen, but he has many issues from being on the ventilator, so we need to remember him in prayer. And let's see. Anyone else that we need to remember in prayer? Glad to see Mr. Kenny there. He's slowly getting better. Thank you, Mr. Skinny. All right, and any other prayer requests?
Jonathan Hatley, he's my great nephew. He's better, but they're fixing to have their third baby, the 22nd, that we hope. So just keep praying for that family.
All right. Anyone else? Okay. Anyone else?
Brian Burgess. He's our neighbor over here. He's been battling cancer for a while. They moved him to a hospice house in Concord. He's like 57.
Right.
His mom and his brother are going through a lot of tough times right now.
Right. Okay. All right. All right. Anyone else? Okay, let's pray together. Father, as we bow before you this morning, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Because after all, that's what Jesus told us to do. He said when he went back to heaven, we'd go to the Father through his name. And so we approach you in that manner. And Father, today, so many hurting people. I think first, Father, that awful tragedy that's going on in the Ukraine. I pray for wisdom for politicians. I pray for safety. I pray for healing. Not just physical healing, but emotional and spiritual healing. Lord, I pray that you'll do something in that situation that will bring honor and glory to yourself. Father, we do pray for Tim Smith. We pray that you'll just continue to touch him, strengthen him. Pray for the Hahn family, Mr. Heath's family today. Lord, wrap them in your love. May they sense your presence. May they feel that special touch from heaven. Pray for the one that Ann mentioned, the one that Chris mentioned. Lord, you know each situation, each heart. And I pray that each person and each family will just have that special touch from you today. Father, I thank you that Mr. Kenny's better and recovering, and I pray for a speedy recovery, complete recovery. And Father, there may be others that I haven't thought about. Lord, I thank you for the safe delivery of this baby. I pray that this baby will be blessed and will be a blessing to this family. I pray that she'll grow up to be a godly lady who serves you with all of her heart. Father, I know that there's requests and thoughts in the minds and hearts of many people that are listening. And I thank you that I don't have to verbalize them because the Holy Spirit knows our hearts. And that he helps us pray. And so, Father, as you notice and are aware of all that's going on in our minds and in our hearts and our silent prayers, our unspoken requests, I thank you for that love which never fails that meets those requests, answers those prayers, showers us with your love, and blesses us. I thank you for doing it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Okay, so we're continuing with our praise songs. I'm sorry. Are you finished? Okay. So we're continuing with our praise songs. We will glorify. We probably don't know this one real well yet, as Leonard would say, but we're going to be learning them together. It's actually not a unfamiliar tune. We have We Will Glorify in our hymn book. This is just a little different version. We're going to be singing along today with Twyla Paris. It is beautiful. Don't listen to me, listen to her. She is gorgeous. But we're just going to be lifting God's name, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and just praising together this morning. Jeff has been so kind to arrange, and we've got it on the screens. And stand with me. Let's glorify the Lord. And we will have a break after the second verse, so I'll stop everybody.
dismissed for children's church. I like that praise song there, because we do need to glorify our King of Kings and who is the great I Am. Amen. All right, today I want us to look in the book of Malachi, last book of the Old Testament. And I didn't hear anybody groan out loud, but I know some of you know your Bible groaned inside. Because you thought, and you think, oh no, here comes that sermon about robbing God, paying your tithes to the storehouse, and opening the windows of heaven and blessing. Well, guess what? That's not it. Surprise, surprise. Now, if the Lord convicts you about your giving, that's between you and Him. But there are other passages in the book of Malachi that speak to us just as well as that one on giving. And sometimes the only one that preachers ever preach at is that giving scripture. If you look at the whole book of Malachi, you find that God, through the prophet, keeps saying to the people, you've got to quit disrespecting, dishonoring God. You've got to quit acting like God doesn't matter. That God's ways aren't important. For you see, the people of Malachi's day were a lot like some of the people in our day. You know how it is. They don't want you to use the name of Jesus. They don't want you to talk about God. They don't want a Bible on your desk at work. They don't want to have a Christmas parade. They want to have a holiday parade. All of those things where we disrespect, dishonor God. And so, with that as a background, Let's just read verse 13, chapter 3, verse 13, just to get a background, a taste of the people's attitude toward God. Malachi chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You have said, it is vain to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, that work wickedness and set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. And you know the airways are filled with vulgarity, with anti-God rhetoric. That's a part of our culture, just like it was a part of the culture of Malachi's day. But then a very refreshing word comes in verse 16, chapter 3, verse 16. Then, in the middle of that mess, in the middle of that disrespect, in the middle of that dishonoring of God, it says, then they that feared the Lord spake often to one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Here's a distinguishing picture, description of God's people. It says, first, they feared the Lord. That doesn't mean they were quaking and trembling and all that kind of stuff. It means they reverenced God. They had an honest appraisal that, you know, he's God and I'm not. He created everything and I didn't. I owe him my allegiance, my worship, my praise. It says they feared the Lord. In the middle of all of the corruption, here's a group of people who said, God's important. God is great. God is the great I am. And I think that's where most of us would be this morning. We honor the Lord. I pray that that's true in your life, that every decision that you make, you say, Lord, what is your will? What is your direction? How would you have me to respond? How would you have me to act? And I would pray that from time to time we would stop and say, Lord, I just worship you. I honor you. I praise you. They that feared the Lord. And then it says, did you catch it? The last phrase of verse 16, that thought upon his name. They feared him and they meditated on the Lord. In other words, a part of their life in a daily basis was given to meditation about God. They were so in love with the Lord that from time to time during the day, the Lord became the object of their thoughts, their meditation. I pray that's true with you. That during the day, maybe during the night when you wake up, you think about God, you think about verses in Scripture, you think about hymns or worship songs, different things that keep your mind focused on God. I mean, we can focus on a lot of things. We can focus on worldly troubles. We can focus on our pain. We can focus on the problems in our family. We can focus on the weather. We can focus on who's winning this game and that game and all of those kind of things. And it's not bad to think about some of those things. But who is the object of our real thoughts? Who's the real object of our thoughts? It says, they feared him and they thought on his name. And then, did you catch something else? Right at the first part of verse 16. They feared the Lord and spake often to one another. One of the joys of being a Christian is getting together with other Christians. You know, there are Christians that when I'm around that just lifts me up, it boosts my spirit, it gets me excited, it gets me more enthused about being a Christian. See, these people not only had a reverence for God and a personal thought with God, they like to get together with other believers and share. They got together with other believers. You know, in the book of Hebrews it said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And he says, you know, encourage one another, especially as you see the day of the Lord approaching. He said, you know, the closer we get to the coming of Jesus, the more we ought to be encouraging one another, lifting one another up, getting one another excited about Jesus. It's just special when I can pick up the phone and call a friend three or four states away. And we can talk about the Lord. We can talk about things that are spiritual and scriptural. And we can talk about other things. We can talk about where we went out to eat or something else. But when we hang up, I just feel so blessed to have my friend John. Think about it. Here in the middle of a mess, an anti-God, here's a group of people. They feared the Lord. They meditated on his name. And they got together with other believers and shared and lifted each other up. Now I pray that that's what we do here at the church. I pray that that's what's true in your own life. That your relationship with the Lord is so special that even when the people around you aren't Christ-like, you can be Christ-like. And you think about honoring his name. How's the song go? Sweetest name on mortal tongue, Jesus, precious Jesus. Meditating on Jesus. Well, there's some benefits to that. Did you notice there what it said? First, in the middle of verse 16, the Lord hearkened and heard it. The Lord was listening to their praise. In the book of Psalms, it says, the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. It said that, you know, it's like the Lord saying, there's that special group. They love me. They think about me. They share with one another about me. It says, the Lord hearkened and he heard it. Your praise doesn't just reach the ceiling and fall back. Your praise ascends into heaven. Your worship of the Lord brings honor and glory to him. It says the Lord heard it. The Lord heard it. And then the next phrase says, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord. You got your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. God says, and you know, this is Old Testament. This is before the cross. This is before the resurrection. This is before the words that Paul wrote, and in the Revelation where it talks about the books being opened and all that. Here it says, God takes notice. And he's got your name written down. Now it's okay, and I hope your name's written in a church roll somewhere, but that don't cut it. But to have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, to have your name in God's special book, to have your God to be able to look down and say, uh-huh, that's one of mine. You know, at funerals, weddings, there's always a guest book to sign. Sometimes when you're having a special party of some kind, a birthday party or something, or anniversary, guest book to sign, and the family can go back later and say, oh, they were here, and they were here, and they were here, and they were here. How much better, how much more glorious that God can say, uh-huh, she belongs to me, he belongs to me. He worships me. He honors me. She honors me. He says, the Lord heard their praise, heard their worship, and he wrote their names in his special book. And then, verse 17, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. What's God call you? A jewel. precious stone, a diamond, a ruby, pearl, an opal. You're special. You may not think much of yourself, and the devil will try to get you to downgrade who you are and what you have. But God says, I put your name in the book, and you are one of my special jewels. And I'm going to gather you with all of my other special jewels. In other words, it's not something to make us sinfully proud, but it's something to make us, our hearts warm with the thought, I'm special to the Lord. You're not just a worm in the dust. You're one of God's precious jewels. And he says, when I make up my jewels in that special day, and you'll be spared. You'll be spared. Just like a son. You know, Jesus gave that parable of on the right hand are the sheep, the left hand are the goats. The sheep are spared, the goats are not. The scripture that we looked at last week, the wheat goes into the barn, the tares go into the fire. God says, you're special. And when that day of judgment comes, I'm going to take care of you. You're going to be everything that I want you to be. When I come back, in verse 18, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. You remember the song we sing at Christmas? I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Their old familiar carols play of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And then along about verse 3 or 4 it says, then in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. But then the bells peal more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. And I heard again, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Sometimes we look and it seems like the evil, the ugly, the hateful, the vicious are winning. But God says, no, no, no. There's coming a day when those who love me are going to be blessed. And let's look at chapter 4, verse 2. This just tickles me when I read it. But unto you that fear my name, and I think you're in that category, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. I get two pictures when I think about calves of the stall. One, the picture of they're just not out there somewhere running around in the pasture eating whatever grass they can find. They're in the stall where they're being given choice food. They're being given, maybe younger, bottle fed. And that's the idea of that picture to me is, you know, God is going to take care of your special needs. You may feel like, oh man, I'm not doing well. But God is going to take care of your special needs, whatever they are. And the second picture I get is a picture of when you go to let those calves go out of the stall and run around, how frisky they are. They're so excited. They're set free. I told my little dog I was going to talk about her today. Because she's not totally house trained yet, we keep her in the kitchen most of the time. We've got baby gates across the door so that we can mop the kitchen floor. But usually after supper, we'll take the gate open and let her come into the living room with us. And the living room, the dining room, and the hall are all sort of one big area. And when she gets in there, she goes berserk. I mean, she'll come around, zip, 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 under the table, around the coffee table, around the couch, and up and down. And she's just a blur. And if I sit down on the floor and sort of put my hands like this in front of me, for some reason, I don't know what's in her mind, it's like she's playing tag. She goes zips around and she comes and bumps her nose right into my hand and then she keeps right on going. I couldn't grab her. I'm not fast enough to grab her. And the next loop, she bumps my hands and makes another loop just wide open. She's been set free. Aren't you glad you've been set free from your sin? You don't have to worry about going to hell. You're one of God's chosen. Aren't you glad you're free from fear? Because your Heavenly Father knows what you need and He's going to provide for you. Aren't you glad that you've been set free and are imparted with the power of the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom and comfort and peace, to teach you God's word and to direct your paths? Aren't you glad that you've been set free? Aren't you glad? And it says, Jesus, unto you that, verse 2 of chapter 4, unto you that fear my name, the Son of Righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall arise with healing in his wings. And you'll go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Folks, we can witness to a lost world. We can share Jesus with a lost world. But only the Holy Spirit can change the hearts of a lost world. But at the same time, we don't have to allow the lost world to discourage us, to lead us astray, to cause us to backslide. We can rejoice because of all that we have in the Lord. Catch it again. They feared the Lord. They thought on His name. They got together and worshiped. As a result, the Lord heard. The Lord put their name in the book. The Lord met their need. The Lord treated them special. And when the day comes, you're going to be on the winning side. I pray that you'll go back and read this over and over and just let the Holy Spirit just give you joy and peace and what it means to be a child of God. It's so special to be a Christian. I don't see how these unsaved people make it. I look at their lifestyle and I look at their words and I think, how sad. How sad. When I can just close my eyes, don't even have to close my eyes, and I just think, I love you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you for all that you do in my life. Thank you, Jesus, that when my life is over, I'm going to be with you for eternity. What a joy. Can't imagine any other lifestyle. Go back and read this passage in Malachi again and allow the Holy Spirit to encourage you with who you are in Christ and what you have coming as a child of God. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment? Is there anyone here that's not a Christian? You've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Would you like to do that this morning? Do you feel the Holy Spirit calling you? If you would, just get up from where you are and walk down the aisle, and I'll meet you there, and we'll talk about your need for Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Other people have their heads bowed, their eyes closed, so you can feel free to come. Other reason that you need to walk the aisle and talk with me or get on your knees at the altar. It's time for you and the Holy Spirit to do business with the Lord. Father, I thank you for these encouraging words from a prophet who lived in a troublesome, evil time. That even while others were disrespecting and dishonoring his Lord, he said, hey, we're going to win. God's going to take care of it all in the end. Thank you, Father, for encouraging us with these words. Now may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming.